We are wrapping up Art Week this week on Northland Morning and gearing up for the Park Point Art Fair this weekend. Earlier this week, Annie Dugan of the Duluth Art Institute on Where's Art on Monday, she was effusive about her praise of Mary Reichert's use of color and blending and texture in her artwork. We'll find out about that now. We have Mary Reichert, who is a Duluth native. She's on telephone with us this morning. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Just getting home from some travel and happy to be home.
You have been working in fiber art, and this is not a visual art on canvas. It's not sculpture. It's fiber. And this, to me, is one of those arts that makes craft work. It makes something that's useful, not just beautiful. And tell us how you discovered this particular technique and this craft.
Mm. Well, my grandmother, she was a weaver and a spinner and a lace maker, and I inherited her loom, and I thought that I would get into weaving. And I was working for, I was living on the East Coast at the time and working for some women who ran sheep and fiber farms. And I was introduced to felt making at that time. And then I really learned and fell in love with felt making when I had the opportunity to make a large felt coat at a school that I was attending. Mm. And it was the combination of exactly what you say, that the felt is so beautiful, but also incredibly useful. And so to be able to make a big sheet of felt and then sew it into this gorgeous white felt coat, that's when I really got hooked into the art.
Now, I've seen, I've had wool socks that people have knit for me, or wool mittens, and they tell me that I should try and get them to felt, and that's like a technique. Is felting something done by knitting first, or can it be felted other ways as well?
That's a good question. That's actually a technicality. Fulling is the process of shrinking wool, and so technically, if with your socks, you'd be shrinking them. And mm-hmm. so because they're already knit, they're already the fibers are already woven together, and so felting is the process of taking loose fibers and then wetting them down and pressing them and then bringing them together. And so felting historically is something that a lot of people who are raising sheep and living with animals, then they'll take the wool, they'll card the sheep, and they'll take that loose wool and they'll mat it down, and they'll make large sheets of felt, small sheets of felt, cut it up into carpets and clothing. And it's a really traditional in the Scandinavian countries to make felt boots and hats. It's a very old craft.
What is it about wool fiber that allows them to grab onto each other and bind that way? Is it that they're crimped, or is it because the hair has, they have little barbs in the sides of the hair? How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. It's unique to wool in particular. They have those little barbs on the side of them, and so when you get them wet with warm water, those barbs, everything kind of relaxes, and then it's the agitation. So you can't just get them wet, but once you start rubbing the wool fibers, then they begin to bind together. And the wool that I work with, it actually it shrinks about 40%. So when I'm laying out a rug, I lay it out quite large, and then I spend a lot of time just pressing the wool and matting the fibers together.
Have you explored felting techniques from around the world? You mentioned Scandinavia. Are there other areas of the world that do it as well?
Yeah, I have. I'm a student of Central Asian felting. I took some time to travel to Kyrgyzstan and live with a family there for 3 months. And that's the place that really inspires me. I find that the combination of like I said, the beauty of the felt and also the everyday use of the felt is really, it's just a part of everyday life in Central Asia. So I've taken to studying felt from that part of the world, and I'll actually be headed back there come this fall.
Oh, wow.
We're studying. Yeah.
Huh. You mentioned, I heard you say white wool. Do you dye it as well? Do you add color to it, or do you do that post or pre-felting?
It's dyeing wool is tricky. You can do it both because with dyeing, you've got both the warm water and a little bit of agitation happening. Mm-hmm. I like to buy my wool already dyed. I do a lot of dyeing with my silken felt scarves, but for the rugs that I'm making, I've been buying it dyed.
You'll be here this week, of course. As you mentioned, you've just come back to town after some traveling, and you'll be at the Park Point Art Fair as well. Have rugs? Do you make other objects with it as well? Hats or mittens or bags? What sort of things do you create?
Yeah, the two things I love to make, they're kind of opposite on the felting spectrum. I love to do rugs, which, they're 100% wool. They start out huge. It's a ton of rolling, a ton of work. And then I also make silk and felt scarves, which have very little wool on them, a lot of silk. They're kind of sheer and light and delicate. And the scarves in particular, I learned how to make while I was traveling in Kyrgyzstan, and those are the two things I really love to do. And then I have some smaller kind of gift items, but those are the main ones.
Now, making a rug out of felted wool, does it start out really thick and sort of wear over time? Does it get tougher as you walk on it more? Are these meant to be hung, to be used on the floor? What sort of uses are these rugs for?
That's a good question. They're made, I make them to be able to use them. And I would say about half the people who take them home, they just think, oh my gosh, I can't put this on the floor. And they end up on the wall. And they're beautiful anywhere in the home. I find felt has a really soft, warming quality, and it's really inviting to have in the house. So some people use them on the floor, some people use them on the wall, but they are incredibly durable over time, and they wear really well, and they're easy to wash and take care of. So I encourage people to use them if they're able to.
Now, washing felted wool, you mentioned the shrinking before of knitted mittens and socks. Does the felted wool, does that shrink as well when you wash it?
For something like a rug that's been shrunk really tight, it's not going to shrink much more. I wouldn't recommend putting it in the washing machine. What I like to do with the rugs is I'll stick them in the bathtub with some warm water, and that warm water kind of relaxes everybody, all the fibers, but not so much that it's going to get misshapen and the dirt will just fall out. And then something like a scarf that's not quite so, the fibers aren't so tight. You can hand wash that as well, but be a little bit more gentle with it.
Now, clearly, I've had a lot of questions about this because, to me, I grew up in a knitting, crocheting family. So,
got it.
So the idea of felting to me is so, not foreign, but just different. What's the most interesting thing you've heard other people ask you or comment about what you make?
Gosh, you know, I find that the work that I'm doing, it's new to a lot of people, and so I have a lot of questions like what you're asking in terms of just sort of the process and the function. What I'm really excited about and what I love talking to people about is about the history and the culture, and so it's really fun for me when people see my work and they recognize perhaps some of the patterns from Central Asia and from Kyrgyzstan in particular. And so it's those kind of questions that I really get engaged with and enjoy.
So you're heading back to Central Asia, you said, this fall.
I am,
You were there for 3 months, which seems like a wonderful period of time to really absorb what was going on and learn. What are you hoping to get when you go back this time? Are there more techniques that you feel like you can learn more about? Or,
you know, last time I was there for 3 months, I was working really hard. I was going to the woman's studio almost every day that I was living with. I was traveling with them to exhibitions. It was a workhorse kind of trip. This trip is going to be a bit shorter. And honestly, this time I'm hoping to see some of the country and to travel. There's going to be the World Nomad Games happening while I'm there. And I'm really looking forward to doing some of that. And then also just keeping my eyes open because I didn't travel so much into the country last time while I was there. So what I'm hoping to do is have a really good time and also keep my eyes open to the felt making that I'm seeing and just kind of see what catches my eye and see what inspires me this time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
If people want to see what you've created, in addition to going to the art fair this weekend, do you have a website where people could go and view your art?
I do, yes. The name of my business is Otlak Felt Studio. It's spelled O-T-L-A-K.
The website is otlakfeltstudio.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. Do you know the booth number at the fair, if you know where
your
booth is?
Oh, the booth number, yes. I think it's 48 and somewhere kind of in the middle.
Great. All right. Yep. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us this morning. I know it's strange sometimes talking about something so visual on the radio, but that's just the magic of the show. So.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for asking.
I appreciate it. Take care, Mary.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mary Reichert, she's a fiber artist, and her website, otlakfeltstudio.com. She'll be at the Park Point Art Fair this weekend. It is Art Week here on Northland Morning as the Northland gears up for the Park Point Art Fair this weekend. Art Week on Northland Morning is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.